Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, talking to the contestants of Season 2 so we can get to know them a little better. And today, we're talking to Gabe. Here we go. It's getting down to the wire, and we only have a few contestants left. And Gabe is the most recent one to be eliminated after a very interesting challenge. We talk about how he had some struggles with some of the team environments. We talk about his love of LARPing and how podcasting is a great channel to share what you're geeky about. Here's my conversation with Gabe Rodriguez. Gabe Rodriguez, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm sorry to see you go from the show. How are you feeling?
I sweep up my pride in little pieces and carry it off with me, and I will eventually have to drink my beer that I have lost in this contest.
Oh, well, enjoy that beer, because you really you made it quite a long way. This is a really, really trying and tough competition. So I hope you are very proud of the work that you've done. Do you feel that way, or do you feel any sense of guilt or anything like that? Remorse?
No remorse. Final four, you really can't complain about that. So it's a case of just learning what I've learned from the show and taking it into my personal show and just life experiences in general, where I made the joke from the beginning that I don't do well with group projects. I don't do group projects. And working with a group of very talented people has really helped me as an individual. So,
yeah, let's dive into that a little bit. So you say that you don't really like to work in group environments. Has that sense changed at all since this competition?
In some ways it's been reinforced. There's been a couple teams that were tedious to work with, so to speak, much like our friend Reed in the past, who also likes to do things on his own. And I feel the same way in many regards of, with the indie podcasting, I want to do what I want. And thankfully, I have someone like Kristen, who is my teammate in life, basically. It's interesting to come across this dichotomy with a lot of strong-willed people and very creative people who want things their way and have to figure out that balance on what is, you know, on the table and negotiable to make a show for, you know, in a week for people together to make something.
Yeah. And how has that helped you grow as a podcaster? Cause I agree. It sounds similar to what Reed and I talked about with, you know, Reed's desire to just kind of put his art and his soul kind of out there in the podcast. Mm-hmm. I guess what ways have you perhaps taken a little bit of a different perspective working with others that maybe you'll now take into your own shows?
I mean, the old joke is I don't know everything is always good to start with.
Yeah.
Again, working with Kristen as well, you know, we do have two people. It's not a team environment except for, you know, a team of two. But the fact that just learning from other people, learning from technical tricks to how to edit audio, how to balance audio. You know, I only started in February of 2019. So I've only been doing this podcasting thing for a few months before diving right into the show. And just going head first, hey, let's just do it. And I'm, you know, as you said, and I'm going to say again, I'm pretty proud of myself for being able to push outside of what I thought was comfortable and just try.
Good for you, man. That's so huge, right? Like, you want to be able to, at the end of the day, say that you grew, and I'm glad to hear that you found some value in this. You just mentioned you're a newer podcaster. You've got not even a year under your belt. Where do you see yourself in the next few years with podcasting? Is this something that you have a passion for now?
The passion is there. I don't know if I'd be able to turn it into a career thing for myself. I obviously have a different career in a more technical field, but something to take the information that I get, as my show is primarily niche communities and such, like LARPing and other various small communities, that I want to focus on those that you don't hear a lot of. So I want to talk about LARPing. I want to talk about the furry community and furry culture and kind of let people know that there are people who are capable and are wanting to share these stories and have other people in. So I see our show continuing down this path and talking about things geeky from an older perspective.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I loved about your biography. And it's something that really rings true with me, watching geek culture kind of become mainstream, stuff that I grew up with, now becoming really widely accepted, where back in the day you used to get, you know, made fun of for loving comics and cartoons and stuff.
You just sit, play Dungeons and Dragons in the basement and, you know, not tell, only had your small group of friends to come over and such. And now you have people watching stuff like Game of Thrones and Watchmen's on HBO. And it's have all these big shows by stuff that we got picked on when we were younger.
Yeah. Like what is your number one sort of geeky thing that you just love and it's been with you your entire life?
I mean, as I said, I've been a live action role player for the last 20 years now, 22 years, dressing up in costume, beating people up with foam weaponry, being out in the woods for an entire weekend and immersing yourself in these like fantasy worlds has been something I've been just wildly passionate about that has helped me, you know, develop as a person. So I did it in my teens and then turned it into technical skills on how to make weapons and how to build props and costuming and makeup. And I mean, I learned how to sew for Pete's sake.
Yeah, that's cool, man. No, I love that. And here you are, you found an avenue and a channel to share this love and your passion for those things through a medium like podcasting, which is great for that. And that's similar story to what, you know, I did. And a little bit different, you know, just from comic books and movies and video games, sort of a perspective, but it's still very much the same sort of flavor. So I love that. Let's talk a little bit about this past week and this past challenge where you were eliminated. What sort of, based on the feedback, I guess I should start with, based on the feedback from the judges, what sorts of ways is this a lesson learned and perhaps how you will deliver your podcast moving forward?
I mean, there's a little bit of saltiness came from the judging, as I was hoping Jenny, who is known for a more technical, her producer background, wasn't there. And I was actually aiming, after talking to Tom, to use my technical skills to make the podcast. Now, looking back in hindsight, it seemed that three others actually did like remove people and really condensed it into a tight ship where I kept it running as the interview as is. I mean, it just... putting an ear to what needs to stay and what needs to go is good for that kind of show. Again, my experiences in my show has always been more conversational and kind of, you know, right to drive and let it go. Stuff like Rogan and other comedians I listen to. So a lot of it comes from that organic build. Unfortunately, with Jenny not there and having the two judges that were more looking for the creative rather than the technical, I feel I got dinged pretty hard there. But outside of that, taking it into my own show, yeah, just being real clean on technicality, realizing that long shows isn't always the best, be able to get down to the nitty gritty and go, hey, what do people want to hear? Why do they want to listen to this? And give them what they want.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. Thanks for sharing that. I think that's the tough thing from my experience in season one. It's like, you know, you got three very different people also that mm-hmm. that are looking for very different things. So you kind of have to play this game of staying safe with what everybody would like, but also not staying too safe, because then that's the whole, you know, that's the whole trap. You want to stand out. And the little phrase that's been muttered numerous times throughout this episode, or throughout this season, I should say, is, you know, this idea of committing to the bit. Do you feel like you committed enough to the bit in this past week, or do you feel like you should have gone further?
I think I chose the wrong bit. I think I committed to the bit of playing the editor. I went, you know, as I said, kind of hard nosed to the rule of I am the editor and I need to take what is given to me and make a passable show out of it. Didn't think about going outside the box too much and kind of like removing people entirely and kind of changing the narrative, so to speak. So I guess to the bit that I committed to was, I am an editor. This is what I got. How do I make this as clean as possible? And so I did a lot of technical tricks in terms of moving the conversation around, balancing, putting laughter in some areas to hide flaws in the audio itself, like just kind of messing around with stuff like that on a technical aspect. But I definitely let the more creative side take a back seat. And I think that's what bit me.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to hear how attentive you are to the experience that you just had. It sounds like you have a good sense of reflection just in your experiences overall. You have a very thoughtfulness about you and just our conversations here. So I really appreciate where your perspective is coming from. You know, and thinking about this broader experience that you just had on this show, What sorts of lessons are you now taking away? Just maybe if you were to say a theme of a specific quality that you're taking into your own show, what do you think that's going to end up being?
I hope that I've got a better perspective in terms of how to do an interview. I mean, we took two interviews in this particular show, this season of the show, from Ptolemy and this the geek one that we did. So it's a case of getting a better feeling on how to do an interview and what to look for, what to pick out, what is interesting or what isn't. And I'm really looking forward to doing interviews in our own shows to be able to focus in on what matters and kind of cut some of the fluff and get to a good meaty interview without having to dance around and fill time, so to speak.
Yeah, good call. That's so important because the interviews are a big part of what I do. And I think that there's a lot of times where I will just let the film roll, as they say, you know, just I will just kind of keep the conversation going. And I would say in a majority of cases, when you get to a point in interviewing where you feel like you've kind of got a grasp on how the conversation needs to go, there's very little editing that you have to do. But every once in a while, man, sometimes this conversation goes off in a weird direction and then you have to like do some editing and make it feel like it's kind of got some symmetry and cohesion. Otherwise, yeah, interviews are really challenging. So that I'm glad to hear that that is something that you're focusing on because personally, I love interviews. Hence why I'm here.
No, interviews are good. That's where you can learn from experts in those fields. And again, working in a lot of or being in a lot of like niche communities, getting people who are more experienced from that point of view and sitting them down and being like, why should more people do the thing you're interested in?
Yeah.
That's Bingo. The way to do it.
Bingo. Is there somebody that like you are just dying to land an interview with for your specific show?
I mean, I have a friend who I've seen kind of blow up in the community for his music talents. He goes by the name of Pepper Coyote. I'm hoping to get him on our show soon. He's got a couple albums out there. He's actually really cool. There's a couple other owners for some of the LARPs that I'd like to sit and talk with in the future as well. Just again, to kind of promote and get the awareness of these games that exist to get more players because it's fun playing with more people rather than the small handful.
Yeah. Love it, man. Well, very cool. Well, I like to always end the conversation on just reflecting on what your biggest surprise was coming out of this competition. Do you have any sense of what that is at this point?
I have a few things. I mean, one of my big surprises was just being able to niche time out of a busy week to sit down with a team, take constructive criticism and negative criticism and turn it into something that we could refine for the following week. The other thing I'm pretty surprised about and really happy to see is Kristen getting as far as she is going right now and has really blown up and shown that she's got the chops. And I'm really honored to have her as part of my show and as a co-host.
Love it, man. Yeah, that's so cool that both of you guys are on this show and having this experience together because that will just be, God, you'll take that into your own show with both of you guys with this perspective. Dude, it's such a difference. So I'm really happy for you guys.
Now, super fortunate.
Yeah, yeah. Now, before we go, why don't we take a moment just to pimp your stuff? Where can people find you, reach you, and also check out all of your shows and all that good stuff?
So we are the Gray Muzzle Geekery Podcast. We can be found on any podcast listening device or app. I go by Dusty Red, and Kristen actually goes by Dusty White, old LARP stuff. We do have a Patreon that we are always looking for assistance. Give us a dollar, support us. But you could email us and find us on Twitter at Gray Muzzle Geek and email at graymuzzlegeekery@gmail.com.
Beautiful. Well, again, our guest has been Gabe Rodriguez. Thank you very much for sharing a little bit more perspective here. This was a lot of fun to get to know you a little bit more. So thank you again for your time.
And thanks for having me, sir. Have a good night.
Thanks again to our guest, Gabe Rodriguez, for taking the time to chat. I'm glad to hear that overall this experience has been really beneficial for you as a content creator. You should also be proud that you made it this far, especially as a new podcaster. That is extremely impressive. So well done, Gabe. If you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com and make sure you head over to patreon.com/toppodcaster to check out all of our brand new patron rewards. The first 75 people to sign up at the $5 a month or more level will get access to a season 1 exclusive pass as well as a limited time lanyard. So make sure that you go check that out. Again, it's patreon.com/toppodcaster. This has been Alex Albisu filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcasting contestant segment. We'll see you next time.